Welcome to the Conversation Changers podcast. I'm Rebecca. The company of Conversation Changers are a group of people who know what it's like to live in poverty in the midst of Canada's many privileges. The stories you'll hear come from Bridges Peterborough. In today's episode, we'll talk about poverty premiums, the high costs of low income.
So I want to talk about payday loans. I've been on ODSP for about 7 years now. And up until September, that was my only source of income. My rent is over half of that. By the time I paid my bills, there was often not enough money for groceries. So I would go to food banks quite often, but food banks only give you like a few days worth of food, and you're only allowed to go to each food bank once a month. So that didn't always get me by. One day I was thinking about my childhood, and I remembered that my mom used payday loans sometimes. So I started off by applying for a $100 loan from one of the payday lenders in town. I got that, and then things just always come up, and I never had enough money. So I applied for a second one. This lender allows you to take out a loan that is up to 50% of your income. So I took out a loan for $625. And then at the end of the month, I would pay both loans back. And then that would be, I wouldn't have enough money for rent. So I would have to reborrow the money. I think the $625 loan was about $715 once you tack in the interest. So I was losing almost $100 there. Yeah. So the payday lenders, because I had payday loans with them, they offered me lines of credit, which, like I said, things come up and sometimes there's just no options, or it feels like there's no options. So I had a line of credit with the one for $500, and then the other one was $1,000, and it went up to $3,000 over about a year. They kept increasing it. So yeah, by the time I would pay my payday loans and the minimum payments on my lines of credit and all the interest and everything, and then reborrow what I could, I would end up with less than $100 after I paid my rent and all my bills for groceries, which actually put me in a worse situation than when I had started the process. I had less money than I did before. So it was much worse than it used to be. And the stress of making sure I had the money in my account when the minimum payments would come out or the loans would be due, changing the due date so that the money would be in my account so it wouldn't bounce, because if it bounces, they charge you $40 and the bank charges you a fee. So it was so stressful trying to make sure all the payments went in on time and then having to reborrow that money instantly because I would have to have money for my rent for the first of the month. So it would literally be like a 24-hour period where I'd have to pay all the loans back and reborrow all the money and hope that everything went perfectly and it came into my account in time for my rent to come out. And then my rent would come out, I'd pay my internet, whatever, and have less than $100 for groceries. So yeah, it was a really stressful situation to be in. And I was stuck in that for over a year. So yeah, it was crazy. And so in September, I started a part-time job. And so since September, I have been able to pay back all of those loans. And this month is going to be the first month that I won't have any loan payments to make. So I'm so much less stressed out, which is amazing. And then just to talk about what else has come up since I've started working, the stress in my mental health has gotten so much better just because I don't have that constant anxiety around money. I haven't been to food banks in probably, I don't know, over 6 months, maybe a year. I had lost like 200 pounds almost in like a year and a half. So I had to buy a whole new wardrobe. And before I started working, I just didn't have the money to buy new clothes really. So I would just get secondhand, like hand-me-downs from other people, that kind of thing. So since I've started working, I've been able to buy new clothes, a new coat for winter, which is amazing. My cat needed blood work done a few months ago, and I was able to pay for it right away and still afford groceries for the month, which never would have happened before. I bought myself a treadmill for Christmas, which was mostly for my mental health. And I'm really grateful that I was able to do that because my mental health suffers in the winter for not being able to get outside. So just the ability to purchase that and to use it has been so great. Yeah, I've had money in my bank account at the end of every month since I started working, which is something that hadn't happened for nearly 10 years before I started working. It's really just changed my life for the better in so many ways. And yeah, I mean, just the stress relief alone, just not having that constant worry about money is something I'm just so grateful for. I'm actually starting a savings account, which I've never had savings ever. So I'm really excited about that. Yeah, it's just, it's opened so many doors and I've had so many opportunities come up and I'm just really grateful to be out of that cycle of debt and anxiety. Yeah, it's gotten a lot better in the last few months, so I'm really grateful.
So lately, I haven't been dealing with, I guess, as many issues when it comes to poverty. I've had what feels like to me a good job, and I've been working a lot. You know, since I've been involved with Bridges, that has been a change. For the year before I was on Bridges, I was on OW and had, you know, about $600, $600, $700 a month to spend. But the story that I'm going to tell is, despite having what I consider a good job, I'm still making just under what's considered our poverty line. And issues tend to come up with that, being a person who's living in poverty. And sometimes it's silly things that come up and make you realize just how much more money that you spend because you're living in poverty. This is a story that's come up with this group that we've just dubbed the chicken story. And I'm hoping to kind of explain a little bit about issues of living in poverty through a story about some chicken. So one day, about an hour before I had to go to work, I was getting ready to cook dinner, and I had just a nice pack of chicken out ready to go in my fridge, freshly bought, I think the same day, from a local grocery store. So I go into my fridge and I open up this still sealed, less than a day old chicken, and I'm just hit with the most pungent, awful smell. I've never smelled anything like that, even on food that has been, you know, bad for days. And this supposedly fresh chicken is so bad that I need to take it immediately out of my house, down the street, into a public garbage bin, because it is not going to be sitting in my house until garbage day, because that is half a week from now. And I'm just imagining this stench permeating its way through my entire home and destroying my entire sense of well-being. And while I'm doing this, I have a thought, because I had just gotten off a meeting with my bridging team for a podcast. So we've been in that mindset. And I was just thinking to myself, if I had bought this chicken at a good grocery store, one of the, you know, nicer grocery stores that folks with money go to, this probably wouldn't have happened, because I buy my groceries at the cheapest place that I can get, where maybe the quality of the food isn't there. And I'm seeing that because of the chicken that's supposedly fresh, well, basically chasing me out of my home from the smell. So this chicken just goes in the garbage. And I also start thinking about how my family, who lives in a condo with garbage chute, they can just take it, get it out of their face, doesn't have to deal with this problem. And I start thinking to myself about how I'm going to solve the problem. I've got about 40 minutes before work. I could go buy more groceries, but I don't have time to buy groceries before work because I have to walk there. I don't have a vehicle. So I make the decision to order some food instead, which is money I wouldn't have had to spend if I had had the money to have a vehicle and go and get groceries, or even if I had the money to have other groceries in the fridge. But really, the only thing I had available was this chicken that I was planning on eating. So it occurs to me that the money that I spend on takeout that I don't have is money that I only had to spend because I didn't have money. And then, of course, can't go pick it up for the same reason. I don't have a car, so I have to order it through a delivery service that charges a delivery fee. which is, again, more money being spent that I don't have for not having money. This is something that we were talking about in our group. We're talking about being called the poverty premium, the extra amount of money that you have to spend because you don't have money. And this experience with chicken really kind of made me think about that. It's kind of a funny, silly story, but it kind of highlights for me those little costs that tend to add up when you're living in poverty.
My poverty issue / poverty premium story is about, I medicate my mental illness with a lot of natural remedies. I take vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and herbs. And a lot of those are quite expensive. Luckily, I currently have a very good connection with a friend who owns a retail food store, and she orders my meds for me, and so I get them wholesale. But I still pay, you know, a couple $100 a month, even wholesale for that. That's where most of my part-time job money goes to. But at the beginning, when I first began this switching off prescription meds for depression and anxiety and treating my mental health naturally, first of all, I could only afford to feel good for half the month, which really sucked. And secondly, what used to just really bother me in many ways, partly as a citizen of my planet and partly just as a consumer, was that I would have to buy the smallest bottles of everything that I needed, bottles that would be like maybe a week's worth of those pills, or just because I couldn't afford to buy the larger size, which, you know, most of the time you have, there is some savings in buying a value pack size. And there's only one container, because those little tiny pill bottles with the recycling symbol on the bottom are not recyclable. So I still cringe when I toss those in the trash, but I force myself to do it because I know that should one of those arrive in a load of recycling, most likely that entire load of recycling will become trash at the recycling center. So it got to me for a long time until I, as I said, asked my friend if I could get in on her wholesale purchasing. And I was very lucky in that she kindly said yes. And so once a month I stock up at her place, but that's still at least 7 or 8 bottles that I have to throw out. I really wish I could recycle those here.
So my thoughts on this is, about a decade ago, I did the right thing, what Ontario Works wanted me to do, and I went and found a job. And I was really happy about it, because maybe this might be an unfair thing to say, but I really enjoy getting out there and doing stuff when my mind is made up. And they seem to believe that nobody wants to go and do anything. But anyways, I worked in a kitchen and I was making a decent amount of money. And it so happened that in one of my pay periods, I gave them all my pay stubs for what I made. And, or no, sorry, I gave them the wrong pay stub, and it was for a little more. And then they actually decided that I needed to be cut off because they believe I made too much money. And I said, okay, fine. I made a mistake. I tried to correct it. They would not have any of that. And they decided that I needed to stop receiving Ontario Works, which was fine because I had the job and I was only getting a small amount. It was just kind of topping up what I made in my employment. So I was making minimum wage and I was making around the same amount of money. But the unfortunate thing is, I am a diabetic, and diabetic medications are so very expensive. And that was one thing I wasn't anticipating. It got to the point where I had to month by month pick and choose which diabetic medication or a thing that I would use for my diabetes. I had to pick and choose which ones I'd get for that particular month. And that's not very good for looking after your health when you can't have everything you need. So that was one part of my problem with that, is I was making the same money working as I was on Ontario Works, but because of my health, I was having less money per month. And that is the unfortunate thing about Ontario Works, is that they make it seem like they want you to work, but you can't have that. I did everything that they asked me to do, but I was worse off. Getting the Ontario Works was a better option than having a part-time minimum wage job, which isn't a good thing.
Hi, I'm Matt. This podcast was brought to you by the generous support of the Ontario Trillium Foundation, the people of Greenwood and the United Church of Canada, the City of Peterborough, 100 Women Peterborough, United Way, and many individual sponsors, people like you who want to change the conversation. Our team for this podcast was Laura, Todd, Rebecca, and myself.